I really don't know what to say, so I'm just not going to say anything. It's the news, according to me. Yeah. Good morning. It's Thursday, February 6th, 9:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the home studio. I was planning on being at the international headquarters this morning, but it is icy out there today. We have freezing rain, and I was just not going to get out and drive. I may take the dogs to the dog park. It's dangerous out there, folks. At least if you're in my county. Most of you probably aren't. I think the vast majority of my listeners are probably in someplace in Pakistan. I don't know, but let's take a look at the numbers here. The numbers have been, they were up and now they're down. I don't know. They're all over the place. So I just decided to give up on that. Let's look at the geographic stats. I always like to do this once in a while. The U.S. looks like it's far above the, Ireland? That's interesting. IR, that thing must be Ireland. Yeah, what is that? Italy, maybe? Oh, that's two. That's IR. I don't know. Great Britain is kind of in the third place there for listenership. Where is IR? Where is that? I don't know where that is. That's quite a high number. Norway, Japan, Myanmar, Spain, Italy. I thought IR was Ireland. I don't see it on here. No, I don't see it on the big map anywhere. It's Iran. It's Iran. Iran is the second largest listener. Well, welcome to from all my folks from Iran. Interesting that you guys would be listening to me. I don't know if they're listening because they don't like me, or it's because they like me. I don't know. It's kind of a questionable thing there. There are friends and foes there in Iran. I've got friends from Iran. They call themselves Persians. Good friends, actually. People that I trust. But there are also people I don't trust that I know from there. So it's interesting. And Great Britain, ES, let's see, what is that? ES would be, I don't know what that is. Let's take a look here. I don't know. That's could be. It's not Japan. It's not Australia, New Zealand. There's some different. I don't know. I can't find it anywhere. I would think ES would be somewhere down there. I don't know. Australia, of course, is in there in the top five, and Norway, India. What else we have on here? Myanmar, of course. Canada. There's a few. A couple listeners there. Not very many, actually, from Canada, surprisingly enough. Just about as many from Japan as there are from Canada. Yeah, New Zealand. I'm surprised New Zealand. New Zealand finally got on the map. They're there for a long time. Nobody listened from. Now, the breakdown in Indiana. I'm sorry. Indiana. I was just looking at Indiana there. The breakdown in the states. Believe it or not, California has the highest listenership. New Jersey, New York, Colorado, Heritage Hills. yeah, Colorado's pretty high up on the list there. Evansville, Indiana. I'm not sure who do I know in Evansville, Indiana. I mean, I was down there recently. I get down there occasionally. That's where I got my dog. It's from Evansville. He came from France, but he was in Evansville close to Evansville. Massachusetts, Kentucky, Michigan. Yeah, I know some people in Michigan. Some dear close friends there. Well, I would call them close, lifelong friends, we'll call them. Don't get to see them very often, but we know who they are. The Florida, Bee Ridge, actually, I wonder if that's That's one of my relatives down there. The North Carolina, Wisconsin, Florida. And then it goes into some other, like New Sydney, New South Wales, Sydney. This is broken down by cities, not necessarily in this country. Chicago, there's quite a few. There you go. It's not broken down by states. It's broken down by cities in this particular one, but that's kind of interesting. So we have, there you go. That's the report on that. In my cup, which is what you really need to know about, is my regular chai with cinnamon creamer, which is almost out. And in my backup cup, I have Joe Tea Peach Sweet Tea. That's how it's labeled on Amazon. We actually buy it from Amazon. And we ordered it and it didn't show up. I think somebody stole it. And then the next one just came yesterday, so we have more peach tea, which is pretty good. It kind of has that kind of manufactured peach flavor. Once you've had the real peach, I make my own real peach tea, and it's with real peaches in it. And it's once you've had that, there's just something smooth about a real peach. It's just it has just a little bit of a refreshing taste to it, but it's not kind of almost a this almost has like a biting peach type. You know what I'm talking about. But in the meantime, there's a few things I want to talk about today. That we need to get into. The biggest thing is the DNC rally, but in the meantime, I want to talk about a couple other things. There's a couple Gaza. This Gaza thing is a big deal right now. Supposedly, the U.S. is taking over Gaza. Now, I've listened to some commentators. I didn't know what to think about this at first. I was like, we're just meddling more in the area. But you know what? Nobody else is doing anything there, and nobody has stepped up to say we're going to go in and fix this. We're going to go in and clean out all the stuff and put in, help with the rebuild project. And we're not talking about necessarily our funds. We're not going to take U.S. dollars to do this. They're talking about just having us direct the whole thing. Somebody else is going to pay for it. It's going to be an international effort going on, which I'm fine with. The entire free world is pitching in here. That's fine. Let's all do it together. But I don't want U.S. tax dollars going to this. Now, but the other thing, unless it's U.S. businesses coming in and doing some things, doing that kind of thing. Of course, the left's heads are exploding because this is genocide. This is genocide. Oh, you're taking over. You're doing all this stuff. Well, excuse me. What are you doing? What did you expect to have happen here? Do you just want to send them back in there and let them take care of themselves? And then, of course, you'd be crying and complaining that they're just left in squalor. It's all in a ruin. Because they always have to have something to complain about. They're not happy unless they can be. They're most happy when they can be complaining. They have to have something to rally about. To put their virtue on display. Protests stopping people from driving to work doesn't change anybody's hearts or minds, and it doesn't solve the problem. A lot of energy and money and expense is all put into this whole thing of let's go out and stop traffic, let's go out and cause havoc, let's go out and throw paint or soup on a portrait, whatever it is. Just let's glue our hands to the street. That doesn't change anything. And yet they think that they're saving the world by, look at how dedicated I am. If you were so dedicated, go out and get yourself a job, make some money, and start donating to some causes that actually do something about it. Not just protesting. To show off your holier-than-thou mentality. Which is all it is. It's all they're doing there. But there's been some protests again. Of course, there's protests going on now. And you have to keep in mind, Act Blue. Now, the biggest problem is some of their funding's going to go away. A lot of this money from the U.S. Agency for Industrial Development or international development, I'm sorry, U.S. agency, United States Agency for International Development. Keep that in mind. International. That means outside of the United States. It means all around the world development. Most of this money from USAID, as it's called, as they like to call it, USAID, I call it USAID, does not go to people here in the United States who are having struggling. Now, keep this in mind. There are about 100 million tax-paying homes in this country. I should say working jobs. There are actually jobs working in this country. So let's just take a look at this for real quick. Let's go with $50 billion. They have a budget of over $50 billion. There's 50,000, 50 million, 50 billion, okay, divided by 100 million. 100 million. What is it? Let me see here. That's 1 million, so I need two more. There you go. That's 100 million. Let's see what that ends up being. That's $500 for every single working home. So basically, out of every person who works, they're getting $500 taken out of their check every year for U.S. Agency for International Development. $500 I'm paying every year for that. Probably more than that, actually. Some people pay less. Probably about twice that, because about half the people who work jobs typically get about almost all of their federal income tax gets taken back off of their. That's what the little dirty little secret. Of course, then the employers pay the other half of your federal income. They don't get exempt from that, by the way. You can claim exemptions as a worker. Let's say you pay 7.5% for federal income tax, and you're the lower end of the scale, and your employer pays the other 7.5%. By the way, you might make $20 an hour, but it's costing the. Let's say you make $10 an hour, and they take out, what is that going to be, 70 cents, whatever, 75 cents for federal income tax. You make $10, they take out 750. 75 cents. That's not right. That can't be right. Is that right? Something like that. Whatever they take out, 7.5%. Your employer pays the other. They're paying you $10.70. I should say $10.75 per hour. You're not seeing that on your check. You're seeing $10 an hour minus the 7%, 7.5%, whatever it is. In some cases, more than that. Plus the state tax and everything else. Social Security and all that stuff, unemployment tax. So we have all that stuff coming out. And your employer pays the other half of much of that, several of those taxes. You pay half and the employer pays the other half, which you never see. And when you get paid for 50, say you get 15, well, I'm only making $15 an hour, and they're charging $25 an hour for my time. Like, my employer's making $10 on work I'm doing. Okay, you go out and you employ yourself and see what that does. See how that works. Go out and be self-employed. Charge the customer $25 and see how much of it you get to keep. Because guess what? There's self-employment tax. Everything else that you got to pay. Your insurance, everything else you got to pay on top of that. Go ahead and try that. See how that works out for you. Boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. Kind of. I mean, that's... Yeah. It's, guess what? It costs him money, costs that boss, that employer, money to have you there, even whether you're there or not, actually. If you don't show up for work, even if you call in sick and you don't get paid for it, he's still paying out. Company's still paying out for you to be there on the payroll. It's ridiculous. If you knew how much you were getting taxed, if you actually knew how much you were making and how much you were getting taxed, how much the government's taking from you, how much you could be making if they weren't taking it, there would be a revolt tomorrow. I guarantee you. People would be in the streets right now. But because they don't ever see the money, they don't have to pay the tax at the end of the year, that gets taken out right away, out right at the top of their check. Harry Reid never understood that. But that's the way it works. That way you never see it and you don't feel it. Everybody just kind of numbly goes along with it. Oh, but it's there. So we're paying these taxes. And on top of that, you don't have to pay sales tax when you buy something. You have to pay property tax just because you own something. I own this, therefore I have to pay rent to own it.
Well, you can't get away from death and taxes. Death and taxes, you know. You can't.
Taxes can be changed. There are varying tax laws in varying different states, and some of them don't even have, some states don't even have any income tax, state income tax. Some states don't have property tax. Some states have every tax there is known to man. And they're still struggling because they blow all their money and there's so much corrupt. Mostly it's just because of the corruption. Some of these people that get money from the USAID that you said, some of the people who get money from that organization are wondering where the money's going. This is like Haiti. This is all the money that was raised for the Haiti's gone through, like, what was it, an earthquake and something else? This was a tsunami or whatever it was. Storm. I think they went through a storm and a tsunami and everything else that they went through. And all of a sudden, all this money started coming, especially when George Bush and Bill Clinton got together and they started the Clinton Foundation, of course. These billions of dollars came in. It's like $2 billion came in for Haiti relief. $2 billion. Now, let's just take a look here real quick at what the population of Haiti is. Got to have it here somewhere. Yeah, let's just do this. What is the population Haiti in 2024? Let's just look at it, population 2024. Because they haven't counted them yet this year. It takes more than a month to count. So we have 11 million, almost 12 million people. 12 million people. Let's go back to the calculator, Bob. Let's take a look at this. And let's say we raise $2 billion. Okay, that's 2 billion, I think. There's 1,000 million, 2 billion. 2 billion divided by 12 million. There we go. Yeah. Every man, woman, and child could have gotten $166. Every man, woman, and child could have gotten $126. $166, I'm sorry. And you know how far that goes in Haiti? And say you have a family of five. Now you're talking about, $900, $800. What are you going to get out of that? Because that's every man, woman, and child. So your family's going to get, if you have a family, you're going to get more. $166 in Haiti is like... two or three months' pay? Wages, at least. Let's look at the average income, Bob. Let's go to that. Let's go to that little factoid. Average income. Yeah, let's spell that correctly. That would help. Yeah, it was the average income in Haiti. Let's just click on that as DuckDuckGo. Let's find out what it is here. National income. Statistia. Gross income per capita, Haiti increased by $103 U.S., 8% compared to this average household. Oh, it just went away. No, just go away. Whatever. Looks like $1,400. See, you got gross income. $1,700 is the average gross income per capita in Haiti from 2014 to 2023. So they're less than $2,000 a year is the average per capita. Less than $2,000. And nobody got anything. Nobody saw anything from all that. So how do you, where did all the money go? the infrastructure, everything else that was there, it's still in shambles. Everything was all messed up. This is several times, billions of dollars. I think one point it was like $20 billion or something. It was from all of the countries in there. So yeah, just nothing. So it's just, most of it's gone. And that's just the financial aid. That doesn't even include all the things that were sent there in container ships. It would get to the ports and get held up. I know several different organizations that they were shipping things over there in containers. Then they went over with a missions trip to pick up the things and help distribute stuff. And all of a sudden, everything's left at the port. Nothing, they couldn't get to it. Government seized it. You know, it probably goes to their military or whatever goes to the higher ups, because that's what democracy looks like. So we have weird, all this weird stuff happening. But this is what happens here with this USAID thing. This is the way it works, I should say. And it goes on and on. I have to go back to this. I've got to get rid of this because it's eating my cookies up here. This is just weird stuff. And what is weird, really weird about this is the reaction that we're getting from the left. Now you have to understand this channel of funds that has been the stream of money, this $50 billion that's been going, that's more than the State Department and the CIA put together in this budget that they get every year, by the way, this is going out. They're taking all this money and they're putting it in the slush fund, and it's going all over the world. And only about 10% of it is anything associated with anything in the United States or anything within even our territories. So we have this crazy, crazy lunatic mob, this rally. What are they trying to accomplish here? They're going out and they're chanting in the streets. And I've got this queued up here with it. This is courtesy of Memeology. There's about 5 or 6 minutes of this. We're going to go through and just talk about some of this stuff. Now, this is all based, you know, it all kind of ties in together with what's going on with Gaza. And Gaza, basically what we're talking about doing is just directing the redevelopment, and let's put it this way. Why are they not celebrating the fact that we're even talking about redeveloping it? Is it everything that's gone, that's been destroyed, basically it's over. We're talking about how we're going to move from point A to point B here on this whole thing. The war is over basically with Gaza, with Hamas there. Well, it's not over with Hamas, but it's over with the Gazan people. We're actually talking about cleaning it up and restoring things. 2 weeks into this guy's presidency, who ever talked about what they're going to do post-Gaza war here? What? Who's talking about that on the left? Other than just let's throw money at it, let's just dump more money over there because that's how they do it. They get money to flow, and they tap off of it into these NGOs, these non-government organizations, that then feed money back to the campaigns. Now, what we're finding out is Politico, which is a left-wing, leftist-funded thing, Politico, all of a sudden, when USAID got shut down, basically paused, everything, all the money was paused, all of a sudden they couldn't make payroll because of a glitch in their system. Now, it seems like quite the coincidence here. Steve Turley, who's he's a pundit on YouTuber. He actually has a point. He made a point very interesting. It was one of the things he was saying was how this whole thing with the left wing media and everything else that's out there. This whole thing could be smoke and mirrors. There may not even be the kind of leftist support that we think there is. They may have been in the minority for a long time, which I believe. When we look at the countries, my wife just brought this up yesterday, how when you look at all the counties in the country, the whole country's red. The only areas that are blue are the high populated areas, the counties and the cities, There's no states that are blue. When you look at territory, it's all red. But they have this illusion that they are, that it's a 50-50 country, that most people are liberals. That's not the case at all. Most people have basic standard, the majority of the country is basic standard beliefs, common sense. That's why I still have faith in the American people. I still have faith in this country, is because I know that the vast majority of the country, even though it's being guided around like a nose with a nose ring, it's I still believe that the country is at its core fundamentally intact. It's being deluded and so in some ways seduced into thinking things that aren't true. Now, so we get into this whole thing with Gaza. They have no solutions. And of course, I think that a lot of this is a negotiation tactic on Trump's part. He's a transactional president. He's not, I don't think, you know, we're going to see the U.S. flag flying over Gaza. I don't think we're going to see, you know, loaning them our constitution. They're not going to be writing up a constitution. They're having a democratic republic. I don't think it's going to happen. I think what's happening here is it's an opportunity for businesses, for, you know, independent contractors, for private contracting to come in and do something about what's happening there. And it's a solution. At least it's a start to do something. Who else is offering anything? Nobody's offering anything. So we should be celebrating the fact that we're talking about a positive way forward instead of just whatever. It's all of a sudden they're not really coming out and complaining about it. Of course, so that means they probably approve it, but they don't know what to say. Okay, it's a pretty good idea. We don't know what to say about it. Shut up about those. Let's complain about USAID. And now listen to some of these yawmakers. I call them yawmakers. The people here who are out here, Schumer, especially Jamie Raskin. I think Jamie Raskin is in this montage of clips. There's about 5 minutes of stuff here. It is absolutely pathetic. This was on February 4th, so this was just a couple days ago. I came out and had this rally because, you know, USAID got shut down. And you'd think that the entire government had been shut down, that all of our money had been shut down because it's USAID. They kept calling it USAID. USAID has been shut off, has been closed off. Who's not going to get their checks? Who's not going to get their welfare check? It has nothing to do with welfare. It has nothing to do with Social Security, nothing to do with anything, any kind of government programs that are within our purview. There's nothing there that's going to stop any kind of funding here in the United States, other than all the things that we aren't supposed to know about, things like Politico that possibly was getting some money in the background. Plus, the words, I think that this also pertains to PBS and some other things. That have all become left-wing shills. When you look at it on their face, there's no way they could be surviving without some kind of funding coming back to them from somewhere. And this is mostly what it is. And they claim this is all for healthcare reasons and health, all this, you know, health stuff. But it's not going to any place in the U.S. This is all our tax dollars. Sure, it's our tax dollars. Our tax dollars. What the whole point here is that our tax dollars are being spent on stupid things. And that money's mostly being funneled back to NGOs and lawmakers' purses. How somebody, you know, making $180,000 a year living in D.C. can end up being a multimillionaire in a matter of 10 years, 10 or 15 years. It's impossible. You just can't do it. You can't do that. But they are. They're doing it. You know, they're supposed to be public servants. It's becoming a career for most of them. Career politicians are just out of their minds. But what time is it? It's y'all getting there. They have So here we are. Let's go through this little montage and I'll talk about it because there's some things I want to break down in some of these. It's just interesting. Notice now, I do apologize right up front. Just be aware, this is not family friendly. Remember, these are Democrats out there chanting and they're cussing and swearing, saying words that are just, so professional. Because the high standards that they have, they're all morally superior to all of us. So they can use these kinds of words because they're so morally superior than we are. And so we have to keep that in mind. They're the only ones who are allowed to say these kinds of things. So let's go into this and see what they say.
Let me tell y'all something. I know some of y'all have been frustrated and you've been saying, where are the Democrats? Where are the leaders?
This is Jasmine Crockett. She's a Texas Democrat. Of course, she's Dallas Duncanville. So let's continue on with this.
I'm here to tell you that we ain't never left y'all. All right?
We ain't never left y'all. Now, there's people chanting in the background. I don't know who they are. It doesn't sound like very many of them. There are people. If you'd see the faces of the people behind her, it is really kind of disgusting. You've got, of course, Maxine Waters is back there. It's the only one I recognize. Some others look familiar, but I don't know who they are. They're back there nodding their heads and making their little statements. Yeah, they're nodding along with everything she's saying.
Here. We are also going to make sure that they are.
By the way, the sound quality, they need somebody else doing the sound quality here. This is terrible.
But, hold the law. We are not going to sit around while you go ahead and desecrate our Constitution, or you look at the laws that have been passed into law and say, never mind, we'll just ignore that. Instead, we are going to be in your face, we are going to be on your asses, and we are going to make sure, you understand what democracy looks like. This ain't it.
This is not Elon Musk's.
Here's Maxine Waters.
This is not Trump's country. This is our country. We deserve to have decent jobs. We deserve to have the respect. We deserve to be treated in a way that all Americans should be treated.
What did she just say there? Did she say anything? We all deserve to have decent jobs. We all deserve to be treated the way all Americans should be treated. This is just flowers and fluff. There's nothing of substance here. She's not saying anything. This is all rhetoric. And, when I freeze frame some of this stuff, this one guy behind her looks like he's stuck with this thing of like, what is she saying? Think about it. She's up there chanting and ranting on, and everybody's, yeah, 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 we need that. Yeah, that's right. What is she actually saying?
And so let me just tell you now.
Okay, tell me now.
I have Elon Musk's major office in my district.
He has his major office, Elon Musk's. There's not two S's on the end. It's Elon Musk. And it's Elon Musk's. Not Elon Musk's. Elon Musk's. It's like the stupidity just kind of drips off and kind of runs off into everything. Yeah.
He won't even meet with the local elected officials.
Of course he won't.
He said he was going to tunnel under from his office all the way to the airport.
This is. Folks, if I could afford it, I would do the same thing. I guarantee you. Yeah. And I'll keep in mind, this is Elon Musk, a guy who owns his own airplane. Several of them, by the way. He fires rockets off where everyone. This is a guy who has a tunnel making thing. He does tunneling. He does all this stuff. Keep in mind, and of course, this guy, one guy in the blue suit, this light blue suit. He's looking down at his paper like, who's speaking next? I want to know who's speaking next. He has this worried look on his face.
So he didn't have to.
I've got to start doing videos.
Measly people on the ground to get to the airport.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said at all. He didn't say anything about the measly people on the ground to get to the airport. He wants to avoid you. That's who he wants to avoid. You crazy, wacko, lunatic wackos.
Go down dirty, no good person along with Trump.
He's a low down, no good, dirty person along with Trump. This is junior high school stuff here, folks. This isn't even junior high school. This is like grade school. You're a low down, dastardly deeds. They're doing dastardly deeds. This is like Al Green. He's up there now doing, he's got impeachment paperwork now all filed. presenting to the Congress to impeach Donald Trump already. It's 2 weeks into it, and he's because of his dastardly deeds, which I think is Gaza. I think he's talking about Gaza, but I don't know what he's talking about. Now, this is who is this guy? This is what's his
open
name?
Up the Senate every single morning.
Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy.
Pledge allegiance to the billionaires. We don't pledge allegiance.
You do. Got people in the background who are staring off into space going, well, I've got a lot of billionaires in my pocket. I'm not sure how to go. This is making me very uncomfortable. You can tell a lot of them are very uncomfortable.
Elon Musk. We don't pledge allegiance to the creepy 22-year-olds working for Elon Musk.
Oh, all of a sudden, 22-year-olds are creepy. These are brilliant people, by the way. Some of them have had major accomplishments. Some of these 22-year-olds that are working for him have done some pretty amazing things. These people are well beyond their years in achievements. And he's oh, it's creepy 22-year-olds. Creepy 22. Oh, we believe in the children. The children. And, oh, but you're creepy when you're 22. Oh, they think that's funny.
So let me tell you,
here's Jasmine Crockett again.
Mr. Trump, you're going to learn a few lessons from us. And
by the way,
the first...
Jasmine Crockett is one of the stupidest people in Congress. She's right up there with AOC. In fact, I don't know. In fact, AOC just came out with this whole thing about calling Elon Musk. He's really stupid. He's a stupid man. He's really stupid. He's an idiot. He's stupid. This is coming from someone who doesn't know what a garbage disposal is. A grown woman doesn't know what a garbage disposal is. Doesn't know if go back to watch that video. She's terrified of her garbage disposal in this apartment she's got.
One, you and your little friend off of Twitter. Y'all about to find out, all right?
You're about to find out. What are you going to find out? What are we going to find out here? We're going to find out where all this money's been going. Why are these politicians fighting for this for the U.S. Agency for International Development? Why are they so fired up about this?
All right.
Well, here's Elizabeth Warren now.
In the building behind me, Elon Musk is seizing power from the American.
This is a woman who claimed to be Indian, Native American, and used that to get into a college. Keep this in mind. She used that status to get into a college. And she's still a congressman. Congresswoman, whatever you're going to call her. She's still in Congress. She still has a microphone. She still has a voice. And she's very annoying. She was just attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the hearings recently, and she was...
Russian people.
Okay, this guy. This is the guy that was behind.
I was a law professor, and we're here.
No, he's a law professor.
Constitutional crisis.
Doesn't have his name here. I'm not sure who this guy is. He was, but he's the whole time he was back there behind Maxine Waters, and he was making all kinds of weird faces. He's a law professor. He's a law professor. What kind of law? What kind of? There's so many things. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor. There's a lot of things I'm not. I have a lot of opinions here, but it's one of those things where these kinds of people that come up there and say, I was a constitutional scholar. Oh, like Barack Obama was? What did you do to defend the Constitution there, buddy? Well, I got rid of the Second Amendment. I'm not going to get rid of the Second Amendment because you're such a constitutional scholar.
And so we have work
here we are, Chris
to
Murphy
do
again.
Right now. Every single one of us has a responsibility to stand up to this fraud. And it is true. We have to reach out to everyone in this country, conservatives, liberals, Republicans, Democrats, and tell them that we have not months, we have not weeks, but we have days to stop the destruction of our democracy.
To stop the destruction of our democracy. Now, here we are again with the destruction of our democracy. Excuse me. I hope the sound is coming through. I'm trying to turn this down because the sound quality, turn it up. Their microphones are terrible. Their speaker, however they were recording this is just terrible. I haven't found anybody who's got any kind of recordings of this that's any better. It's all really bad.
We have work to do.
It's all overmodulated. We have work to do. We have work to do. We've got to save our democracy.
And so we will fight with you to make sure that in this country, it is the people that rule. It is the people that rule, not the billionaires.
Billionaires are people, by the way. People are, yeah, they're, Elon Musk is a people. Pretty sure.
We are taking back this country from Elon Musk. Thank you, everybody.
Taking back this country from Elon Musk. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean?
And I'm going to tell you, this is not complicated.
This is Ron Wyden.
It's not hard to design.
Senator from Oregon.
We've got one message today. Tell Elon Musk to take his hands off your money.
Oh, off your money. This is off your, tell Elon Musk to take his hands off your money. Elon Musk is finding out that all this money that's yours, it's being taken from you, is where it's being spent. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to say, take your hands off my money. Well, who has control of that money at the moment? Certainly not you, that's for sure. Take your hands off our money. Well, when they say that, by the way, he's talking about his money. He's talking about the money that's supposed they're supposed to have, the government's money. See, the left thinks that all of your money, all the money you make, all the money you have, belongs to them. They're just allowing us to use it for ourselves to some degree. They really own all the money. That's their mentality. They won't come out and say that. They'll never come out and say that. But that is their mentality. That is their philosophy. They think it's all the people's money, and we just have the right to let you have some of it. We'll be so gracious as to let you some of it. I see Ayanna Pressley back there in the background. She's standing in the crowd too. She'll probably get up there and say something at some point. But you know that people didn't just show up for a rally. First of all, how many people on the left do you know of? How many people in the country do you know of? Especially those who are not even actively involved in any kind of politics at all. Have you ever even heard of USAID? How many of nobody. Nobody's heard of this organization. You don't go to the local USAID office and get some kind of funding for anything. You don't do that. Who shows up for these rallies? How did they get all these people there? And of course, they won't show the crowd. They're in tight on this person, on the people who's speaking. And there's maybe 20 people in the frame. 25. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's probably 25 people there in the frame at the most. Of course, there's big, huge signs that they're hiding behind and everything else, too. So it's hard to tell how many there are actually there behind the signs. But they're in tight on this thing, and they have the angle that they have. They never show the crowd. Never show the crowd. I don't know how many people are actually out there in front of them. Who shows up for this rally? Who's all in the streets, all upset about this? We're going to have a rally. They're taking away U.S. aid. We have to get out there and protest this. Okay. Just a minute. I'm clipping my nails. I gotta give my goldfish a bath. I think it's. I'm not sure. I got time. Who shows up for this stuff? Does anybody ask these questions ever? Does anybody ever say what kind of people show up for this kind of thing? I'm taking off work today to go to a rally about U.S. aid. What is that?
He has broken the law time and time again. This cannot stand.
Dave Min, that's the guy's name.
He must be made to pay.
This is the
we
law.
We must
professor.
Enforce the law.
What? Okay, what's this again?
He must be made to pay.
Okay, let's check this out
he
again.
He has broken the law time and time again. This cannot stand. He must be held accountable. He must be made to pay. We must enforce the law.
This guy's again from Costa Mesa, Irvine, Laguna Beach, California.
Lock him up. Lock him up.
Now, I don't know if they're talking about Elon Musk or Donald Trump here because they start screaming lock him up, and I don't know if they're because they're just about as deranged about Elon Musk as they are Donald Trump. And I see Al Green there. Al Green standing next to Maxine Waters, and there's a couple others that are there. Presley still standing there. All these wackos.
Lock him up. Lock
Al Green is shaking his little cane there.
Hello, everybody.
Good. Chuck Schumer's on the scene. By the way, this is brought to you by MoveOn.org. MoveOn is sponsoring this entire thing. They're the ones who are it's George Soros money. This is basically what we're talking about here. This is a open society funded event That's what it is. George Soros.
Fight the fight.
Yeah.
Fight
the fight.
Are we going to win the fight?
Yeah. You're going to reap the whirlwind, Kavanaugh.
Let me say first some good news. Every one of the 47 Democratic senators is going to vote against that horrible, dangerous man, Russell Vought, on Wednesday.
Russell Vought. Who's that? A dangerous man, Russell Vought. I don't know who that is. I know he's been creeping around my backyard here, looking in the windows. He's dangerous. They're all cheering for that.
And we cannot allow Elon Musk and a small group of people to secretly, behind closed doors, take away our privacy, take away our dollars, take away everything we have.
You know why? Because that's our job as congressmen. That's what we're supposed to do. We do all that behind closed doors without you knowing about it. They're doing it right out here in the open for everybody to see. They're taking away our jobs.
We are going to fight this fight. I am going to stand with you in this fight. And we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win. We will win.
Oh, now he's holding hands with Maxine Waters and they're chanting.
We won't rest.
We won't rest. Oh, here we go. They're all chanting.
We won't rest.
There's nobody there. It's just, there's nobody there. It's so cringe. I don't, it's odd to use a word from the popular society now. It's so cringe. What is wrong with these people? There's so much going on here. And this is just exposing this huge budget that this thing has. I mean, you're talking about $1 billion. You could spend $1 billion in every state of the country every year with the budget this agency has. $1 billion every year. If you don't call this a slush fund, I don't know what you call it. You have to start looking at the numbers here. This is ridiculous. And of course, the fact that they want to shut it down and figure out and have some accountability right now, not tomorrow, not have hearings about it. I don't have that information in front of me, Senator. I don't know what to tell you, Senator, Congressman. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have that information in front of me. No, we're going in and we're checking the books. They need to do the same thing with the Federal Reserve. And not just the Federal Reserve as an institution. They need to look at everybody on the board at the Federal Reserve. It's not the organization. There are people who've worked for the Federal Reserve and they're like, well, what are you going to go in and audit? They're not going to find anything. Well, of course not, because they write the books. They make the book. When you have people who can just print money out of nothing with a keystroke, all of a sudden, okay, that money exists now. They don't print anything. They don't have any accountability or anything. It's the people behind the scenes. What are the activities going on? What do their emails look like? What do their communications look like? Most of them are all held in secret meetings that are highly classified. They're tighter than they don't send emails to each other because they can't, you know, they want that information ever coming out. Why is it there's never been a leak of the emails passed on between board members of the Federal Reserve? That's never happened. There's never been a whistleblower there, has there? Once you're in that exclusive club, you don't have any financial issues anymore. Do whatever you want. Quite the cabal they have there. So we have that stuff going on. And why is it the left is so concerned about this? Why would they be so worked up about it? And who shows up for their rally? Very strange. I didn't get to hear some of them. This one lady, she has a declaration of war. I might play that tomorrow. There'll be some more video about that tomorrow, or audio, I should say. It's absolutely insane. These people, they're out there yelling and screaming in the streets. This one lady, she declares war. This means war. Okay. When, you know, we're going to bring the fire. Well, that's pretty bad rhetoric. You know, we were told that that kind of rhetoric is what starts, you know, if there's any kind of thing that happens. And I do want to cover one other thing, and it's what's going on in social media right now. First of all, social media is the worst place in the world to share your and I'm talking about social media as in Facebook or Twitter. Sharing your views on political issues, unless you have a channel or you're doing something you're known as a political pundit, that's one thing. If you're just a private individual out there who just picks up snippets and thinks that you know everything, and you're starting to, you throw out these numbers and you're just reposting things everybody else is posting, move on and Act Blue. Some of these organizations are out there posting things now. And a lot of this comes from people who are promoting, like Harry Sisson and people like that, and Dan Goldman. It's individuals like that they're out there posting this information, and a lot of it's false information. One of them was recently posted by a former friend of ours. I guess she's still a friend. She just become such a. I don't know how to respond. I'm not going to respond, first of all, because it's not worth it. You can't. Somebody tried to respond with a coherent message to her, and of course she got pounced on by all the other people who were her quote friends, her Facebook friends. That's how it happens. You know, somebody gets on there, makes a crazy statement about, well, it's all my Trump lovers. What do you think about this? I'm sure you won't. I'm sure you'll listen to this, and you're going to deny it anyway. I'm like, well, first of all, it's an article from MSNBC. So much of this stuff, and of course, there's one posting that happened. I read it about a month ago. All this stuff about Donald Trump, and it was article after article. He did this, and he did this, and he did this. And of course, they got the article link below it. You know, it went through like 10 different things that Trump was supposed to, all the accusations that they had. Every single article was either MSNBC, CNN, or CBS. And all of them were. There was nothing from anybody, from any other alternative media or anything from Fox News or anything from One American News, nothing from, what's the other one, Newsmax, nothing. It was all from left-wing media, which, by the way, is falling apart, it seems. And yet they still continue to quote these numbers and all the stuff that's going on, claiming it. You know, Trump's victory wasn't a landslide. It wasn't this. It wasn't it. He got more votes than any other Republican president has ever gotten in our nation's history. I mean, inroads in every demographic. Are they claiming? Whoa! But 1.2 million voters were disenfranchised out in Pennsylvania, wherever it was. They said some, if they wouldn't have thrown all those votes out, they didn't throw the votes out. They threw people off the rolls. If they were real people, they could have showed up and voted. It's more accurately called a suspension of those names, because there were multiple names of this one person. So the person could go to different districts and vote, because some of them have zero. It used to be you had to have special districts you would go to vote. You could only vote in a certain place. Like, in other words, my voting poll area was such and such because I lived in a certain area. I had to go to that particular poll. That's not the case in many states now. As long as you're a resident, you can go to any poll you want to. Well, the problem with that is you can go to multiple polls, especially if you have multiple names on the register. So if I'm registered three times, I can go to three different polls and say, oh, that was the other Kevin. You know, that was the other Kevin. No, that was the other Kevin. I can do it three times. People do that stuff. Well, there's no evidence of that. Well, how are you going to find it? If you don't get them off the roll, and then when they show up, say, okay, are you the Kevin that lives at this address? Yeah. Well, you've already voted. Oh, sorry. Yeah, my bad. This is the kind of stuff that happens. And it doesn't take that much. Sometimes we're talking, you know, in some elections, we're talking, you know, 1,000 people. Well, it only takes a few people to vote several times is to start adding up pretty quickly. So they're all saying, oh, that would have changed everything. Well, it only would have changed that particular state, first of all. And it's completely asinine. The way they're doing everything is just completely out of the out of the realm of normal thinking and common sense. But here we are. So, I have some dogs I need to walk. I got to get this posted. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a show tomorrow. And hopefully, there will be some clarification on some of the things that are happening and more about this whole thing with the crazy rally and what's going on with the left and all. Their heads are popping off. Like I said, this whole social media thing, it's people just are, they're literally off their out of their minds. They're just out of their minds. And I think they're making a difference by parading themselves around on social media. Well, just folks, just get over it. Let's just move forward with this whole thing, can't we? Just amazing to me. So, in the meantime, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. I will be here tomorrow for at least a short show. We'll see how that goes. So take care and be careful out there, folks, because some places it's icy, some places it's not. Take care.